Chapter 20. Old Friends. The reduced 27th Expeditionary Fleet returned to Kiovar under Korax's command. Without celebration, its ships put into the planet's docking facilities. The vessels were marked by hard fighting. Their numbers were depleted, and the regiments ferried aboard the transports accompanying them had many holes in their ranks. Senior Strategos reckoned 87,000 lives lost as the price for Korax's vengeance. It was said openly and angrily in some quarters that the Primarch had neglected his duty. There were rumours about the action in Karanai, but they did not go far. The Terran authorities regarded Korax's decisions during the compliance regrettable enough to hush up. No remembrancer reports were released, beyond the blandest data recording the integration of the Sodality into the Imperium. The regiments sent to garrison the Thousand Cities were told little about their taking. The lack of news was not unusual. The Raven Guard often operated in the shadows. Corvus Korax did not care much for recognition. For him, the doing of the task was reward enough. But in this case, the silence surrounding the campaign was generated purposefully. Primarchs should not be seen to make mistakes. Korax sank into pensiveness and spoke little to his sons. Only the brothers, Agapito and Bran Nev, attempted to discuss the recent compliance, until Korax called them into his personal chambers in the Ravenspire, and they came out subdued. After that, they let him be. The Emperor undoubtedly knew of his son's behaviour. What he thought of it, none could guess. The lifter hummed rapidly down through multiple levels of the Raven Guard fortress. Deliverance was small, its mass low, but after the feather touch of the Thousand Moons' gravity, Korax felt weighed down by his own being. Frictionless wheels whirred a deepening song. Magnetic brakes slowed the lifter. The utilitarian screen displayed a low number. They were not far from the red level, the place where, in blacker times, the wardens of Lysaeus had tormented their prisoners. Korax looked at the back of Belthan's head. He wondered a moment if his sons were wayward enough to employ that dread floor of the Ravenspire against his ban. But the lift slowed to stop 5 levels above, and the doors opened.
"He is this way, my lord," said Belthan.
"He allowed his capture," said Korax.
"He did."
Belthan thought a moment before continuing, unsure of Korax's mood.
"My lord, may I speak openly with you?"
"Any of my sons might," said Korax flatly.
Belthan was not sure if that meant it was safe to proceed or not. He decided he should.
"You are giving Erin what he wants, my lord. He has been waiting these last 2 months to speak with you."
"I am," said Korax. "But anyone who fought at my side during the deliverance of Lysaeus should be able to speak with me. I owe him that much, before I execute him."
Belthan stopped, surprising Korax.
"Do you owe him anything? He killed to secure an opportunity to speak with you. He jeopardized the peace on Kiovar. For what? Vanity?"
Korax gave Belthan a hard avian stare.
"Perhaps that is why I should speak with him. To find out why he did what he did."
"My lord," said Belthan, "he has told me some of his reasoning. My brother Shadow Wardens think he has lost his mind."
"Do you?" asked Korax.
"I do not," admitted Belthan.
"Then why are you challenging my decision?"
"Because, my lord, I fear you are going to try to justify yourself to him."
"And what concern is it of yours if I do?" said Korax.
Belthan looked up to his gene father with a boldness Korax admired.
"You are my father and my savior, my lord. You do not have to justify yourself to anybody."
Korax stared at Belthan for several seconds.
"I do what I must, sergeant, not what I please. Take me to the prisoner, then leave me. I wish to speak with him alone."
The cell was the sole room with power on the floor. Little Legion activity took place around the red level. The air was consequently stale, with a back taste of oil, and the lumens flickered from long inactivity. Korax had little need of cells. and less liking for them. He had devised other punishments for miscreants. Those who broke his laws must serve or die. So Erin was all alone.
"Korax,"
Erin said, rising from his chair when the Primarch entered the cell. The chains binding his wrists and ankles rattled as he lifted them to show.
"Overkill, don't you think? When this was a prison, I escaped it. But now it's a legionary fortress, I doubt I could."
"Erin," said Korax.
The traitor reflected in his jet-black eyes. Erin smiled, as if they were sharing a secret.
"It's good to see you, Corvus," he said. "Tell me, how are the Nev boys? How is Afrenia?"
"They are well, though ashamed to hear of what you have done."
Korax surveyed Erin. He had become a fanatic, but he was not mad.
"Well, thank you for seeing me. There were so many people who fought for me against the overseers of Lysias," said Korax emotionlessly. "Do you think I have time to speak with them all? Tell me why you did what you did. I have greater matters than your fate to deal with." "Then why did you come at all?"
"I'm curious," said Korax. "We fought on the same side to bring peace to this moon and its mother planet, and yet you jeopardized that. Is it bitterness because you were too old for implantation? I do not value your efforts in the liberation any less for you not becoming a legionary. You could have lived out your life in honor."
"You think this is about power? You think this is about me not becoming one of your so-called sons?"
Erin laughed hard.
"I don't want the power offered by the Emperor," he said.
"Becoming a member of the Legion is a responsibility, not a gift of power," said Korax.
"You say so," shrugged Erin. "Do you honestly think all men made into legionaries feel that way? Do you not think some of them exult in their strength?"
"Most understand that it is a responsibility," he said. "And those that abuse their gifts are judged and treated accordingly."
Erin sat upon the hard fold-out bunk that was the only feature of the room. His chains rattled after him.
"Well,"
he smiled and pointed a finger,
"they're not the only ones with responsibilities. I've been doing all this for you."
"Is that so?" said Korax.
"You left the job here half done, Corvus Korax. The guilds are in power still. The people suffer like they always did. I wanted you to see. The people are free," said Korax. "You are wrong. They are free to suffer," said Erin. "You abandoned us, Korax. The Emperor doesn't care for men. Our struggle here didn't matter to him. If it did, why did he give our world to the Mechanicum? We've got nothing in common with them. Their religion is offensive to good sense. Worshipping machines?"
He let his derision show.
"The Emperor has a plan beyond either of us," said Korax. "I have seen only part of it. I assure you all will be well. Mankind will regain its rightful rulership of the stars."
Erin shook his head.
"Oh, Korax, Korax. The Emperor is a tyrant. The position of the Mechanicum here is his hypocrisy in plain view. Promulgating this imperial truth from one side of his mouth, blessing the superstitions of the Martians from the other."
He looked pityingly at Korax.
"You've been duped. The one man we thought was beyond all domination of will or body. You're a disappointment. You have no idea what is at stake."
Korax stared at him impassively.
"No idea at all. There are forces at work in this universe that defy language to describe. I cannot govern here as people wish. I cannot be here for the people. They suffer, I know. But human beings suffer everywhere. There are worlds where the worst possible things you can imagine happen as a matter of course. Things that make the horrors of the Red Level seem mundane and kind. I cannot be here to adjust the lives of the people minutely. I have billions to save."
"So you've abandoned the fight," said Erin.
"I fight the same fight on a far bigger scale," said Korax.
"What of justice?"
"Justice takes a long time to build, but it will come."
"You're wrong. Justice cannot be compromised. You can't live by half principles, Korax. What is true in one place is true in all places at all times. It cannot be one way here and another there. You are vengeful when it suits you, yet you let our tormentors live.
I am vengeful. I was vengeful at Caranai, and castigated for it. Justice will prevail. But at this time, vengeance would not suit here, said Korax. I have set aside vengeance against the Tech Guilds. They have their part to play in the Imperium. This world will thrive in time. All worlds will. A golden age is coming. But first we have to fight for it.
So justice is on hold?
Every world taken in the name of the Great Crusade is a step towards fairness for all.
What of every death of every hungry child here at Kievar? Is that not an injustice? Every man of deliverance turned away from work, every act of corruption, are these not crimes?
Korax sighed. He had had similar discussions with himself.
Sometimes we must sacrifice our personal feelings, the betterment of our own lives for the common good. The sacrifices I ask of others are no greater than those I undertake. I face a lifetime of war. Do you think I wish to live a killer? Every battle I fight sees my sons die. I have expunged civilizations for the sake of the greater community of man. And now I face betrayal from old comrades at my home, while I battle for the fate of our species.
You see yourself as righteous. You are an irritation, parochial. Your vision is too narrow to see the breadth of what the Emperor wants to achieve. Justice has no half measures, said Erin. If you style yourself as the bringer of justice, you cannot apply it as you will. You are either its unshakable champion, or you're a politician, like all the other parasites sucking away the lives of the people you profess to care for. There are a million worse places to be than Kievar, but that does not excuse the half-job you did here. And there are wounds here that run deep and will never heal. Best excise the damaged limb completely. If you do not, then one day there shall be a reckoning. The Mechanicum are jealous of the Tech Guild's secrets. The Tech Guilds resent the Mechanicum. The Kievarans smart from their loss of power, and still the Lysaeans suffer. Then they must suffer, Korax said harshly. You do not understand. You cannot comprehend how complicated the reality of this is. For the time being, the situation here must remain as it is.
Korax, I do understand. I understand very well. Erin's smile hardened. You were a free man once. You taught us to deny tyranny, and then you willingly submitted yourself to a tyrant. All those political theorists to teach you, and still you left them to this. Vengeance has its place, but justice is everything, said Korax. Even then compromises must be made. The good of mankind is paramount.
The man and the Primarch stared at each other. Erin shrugged.
I've said what I needed to say. I've done what I needed to do. Kievar is destabilized. You'll have to act.
I will not, said Korax. The Mechanicum will resolve it. This is no concern of mine. You wasted lives for nothing, Erin. You have wasted yourself.
Korax gave him a last long stare before he ducked out of the door.
You will kill me, I assume, said Erin after him.
I will, said Korax, pausing outside the cell. For you have betrayed me personally, and that I cannot forgive. I show the Tech Guilds mercy. I will show you mercy also. You will die quietly and quickly, and bring no further shame upon yourself.
You are not worthy of my loyalty. You are consumed by violence and given to fickleness. You mete out vengeance when you decide, and avoid justice where it counts.
I do the Emperor's bidding, said Korax.
His black eyes widened fiercely.
Whatever that may be. One day,
Erin began shouting,
one day you will see Corvus Korax. You're wrong. You cannot stay in the shadows forever.
That is for the Emperor to decide, Erin. Not you, said Korax.
The cell door closed. For a moment, Korax held still, listening to Erin's protest. More pleas, more anger, more demands Korax return to his people. He rested his hand on the door.
One day I shall return, said Korax to himself. I will come back here and make this place the perfect paradigm of human society. But that is far ahead, and there are many dark days to weather before then.
Resolute, Korax vanished into the gloom of the Ravenspire. That was Korax, Lord of Shadows, by Guy Haley. Read by Jonathan Keeble. This recording is copyrighted to Games Workshop 2019.